The CCT Scoreboard on ESPN 1000.
I'm Chris Bleck here on Chicago's College Tailgate. Let's take a look at the top 25 in the Big Ten right now. Upset alert at Ohio State. Minnesota 14, Ohio State 10 with 11 minutes left in the second quarter.
Row your boat.
Auburn and Tennessee tied at 10 with 9 minutes left in the second quarter. Also in the top 25, Vandy 14, Florida 3 with 10 minutes left in the second quarter.
Acres away.
Other games going on in the Big Ten. Nebraska, Northwestern tied at 7 with 7 minutes left in the second quarter. Maryland is up on Rutgers 17-0 with 8 minutes left in the second quarter. And Iowa's up 14-10 on Indiana with 11:22 left in the second quarter.
Time for our Saturday night specials.
It's time to put money in your pocket.
What's wrong with making a few bucks on the side?
It's the Saturday Night Special.
You want some of this, don't you?
Yeah!
Well, you need to know the winner, and I know the winner.
It's time to put money in your pocket. Yeah. It's the Saturday Night Special on Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000.
All right, place your bet.
Glad that you're with us here for Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Jonathan, Adam, and Chris with you for Week 7 as we build a bridge to Notre Dame football to take on Pitt. 12:30 pregame right here on the home of the Irish, ESPN 1000. Every week we have our picks for the Saturday night specials. I'll start first, guys. If you know what? I will ask your opinion for my first one. 2:30 kick, ILL. OSC will take on Purdue.
Oh.
What do you tell me this? What is the, if you're going to put anything on this, what is the better bet? Purdue minus 10 or the over under 63? The reason why I ask you that question is because Illinois' secondary has been tight. They have been allowed 200 yards in every game. Illinois' defense isn't awful getting off the field, but it's dead last in the conference in yards allowed. Illinois hasn't been awful. You know, Illinois fans will make a case that they could have been 4-1 if it wasn't for losing late against USF, against South Florida. But I'll ask you your thoughts on this game, right? By the way, if you're a college football fan, you could always twist it, right? Any way you want to. Like, you know, Illinois could have been 4-1 if it wasn't for that South Florida loss.
Yeah, thanks, Wanstead.
So there you go. So what do you think? Which way would you lean? Because I have them both on my yellow pad.
If I was going to play it, I would play Purdue minus the 10. That's
Ooh.
The way I would go.
Adam, what would you think?
Purdue don't touch the over-under.
You know Purdue can score, but I'm kind of think I was leaning under 63.
63 is a lot.
Yeah, I'm thinking under 63, but I love the 10, though. Because
I like
the
10.
Purdue's going to win the game.
I like the 10.
Purdue's going to win the game, and
yes.
Purdue can cover the 10.
Purdue's two touchdowns better than Illinois, at least, right?
Right.
Okay. Then I like the 10.
I like Purdue minus 10.
All right.
Adam?
I am going to go with Washington. They head to Oregon.
Ah.
Oregon screwed me in their loss against Stanford. They should have beat Stanford. You heard me.
Yeah, they did.
Washington is 29th in S&P Plus on offense. Oregon's defense is 90th in the red zone as it comes to defense. So they are not good in the red zone. I think that basically every position of skill position is what I'm trying to say. Every skill position, Washington is better.
Yes.
So even on the road, hostile environment in Eugene, it's not at night. It's not at night, so that's fine. It's not going to be that hostile. The kids won't be that turnt. They'll be kind of turnt.
Semi-turnt?
That early afternoon turnt, a 12:30 start for Eugene. So an early afternoon
turnt.
Listen,
Abdallah, the turnt is all based on when you start.
Well, you can't start that early.
Well, depends if you get up at 7 a.m., you can really get...
When you came in at 4 a.m.
Have you never heard of a boozy brunch?
I think that Washington wins this game handily. I think that I like them minus 3.5. I think that there's going to be some mimosa naps happening in the stands late in the game from the faithful in Eugene. I like Washington minus 3.5.
Yeah, I think Washington is the more talented team. And like you said, that defense. All right, my first pick. Let's go to Iowa State Chris? Against West Virginia. 6 o'clock on FS1.
He could wait for the introduction. So cocky. Go ahead, Bell.
Iowa State is getting 5 points at home against West Virginia. They're 9-2 against the spread as a dog in their last 11 games. Iowa State has won 4 of its last 6 games against top 25 opponents. It's seeking back-to-back wins over ranked teams for the second time in as many seasons. Last year, they went on the road to beat number 3 Oklahoma and then came home and beat TCU. This team plays well at home. Give me the points for the Cyclones plus the 5 over West Virginia. Jonathan?
Ooh! Iowa State plus the 5. I guess a Heisman Trophy candidate.
I would say not one of my picks, but I know what Chris is going with here. I would do a little sprinkle on the money line.
Sprinkle time.
Not saying, just saying.
UCLA Cal.
Oh, late.
The Bear. Yeah, you know me. I chased Hawaii last week.
Aloha.
And that came through for me. Thank you very much.
We're going to have a Hawaii guy on.
We can do get that done. Absolutely. Good season for Hawaii.
6 a.m. in Hawaii. We go live. Is this a big game?
Eric, can we hook that up? We can do that. Hawaii's had a nice season. UCLA Cal. The Bears have lost 2 straight, really having an issue against Oregon. The rotating quarterback system is shaky with 7 receptions thrown in the last 2 games. Okay, for Cal. Bruin quarterback Dorian Thompson Robinson. He's got his married name and his divorce name. His maiden and divorce name. Dorian Thompson Robinson needs to show more than just one game of production. The 272-yard effort against Washington was just a key step. I think that this is, you tell me, Chris, underappreciated kind of rivalry, Oregon-Washington. A little bit under the, I'll get to that game in a minute. But I want to ask you about UCLA-Cal. I see UCLA, no wins, but I think closer because this is a toilet bowl Pac-12 game. I like UCLA plus the 7.
Cal's got good defense. UCLA's offense is atrocious.
Right.
First year for Chip Kelly. And, guys, let's go back a few years. Chip Kelly was all the rage in both the NFL and in college football. He was a god on offense. And it seems to be that the luster of the offense for the Bruins and everything Chip Kelly does has definitely faded. This UCLA team is one of the worst in all of the Power 5 conferences.
No question. But I think...
Yeah, because I think, you know, California is not as good as people kind of thought a couple weeks ago. People were kind of promoting that maybe they could be the dark horse in the Pac-12. I don't think that's the case. I could see this being closer.
I think it's going to be a little closer, Adam. I would say UCLA plus 7. I'm going to go with that, which probably is not going to be a really good game overall.
Sell it.
Yeah, I don't think it will be. I think it's going to be, but close enough for UCLA to hang in there and probably get another loss here.
For my second bet of the day, gentlemen, I'm going to go all the way to the top of your betting sheet. It's up soon. We're leading into it. We're about 19 minutes away from pregame.
Give us your Notre Dame old-timey voice.
Notre Dame as we go.
Today we welcome in the Fighting Irish as we take on Pitt. The Panthers, they travel down to South Bend. Here we go. Grab your lady and get ready for a football game on the gridiron.
There's your Notre Dame open at 12:30.
Grab a Lucky and your lady.
Grab a Lucky and your lady and let's have a scotch. Here come the Fighting Irish.
They're still doing Lucky Strike
Ian
reads.
Buck, what a quarterback going forward with the pass.
This segment brought to you by Steel.
The Brian Steel. Kelly Show can be heard every week here on ESPN 1000.
You guys, if you're listening to this,
the Fighting Irish enter the field.
Here they come.
In podcast form, and you want to rewind to the beginning and listen to the hard sell that Chris and Jonathan gave you on Pitt on this game. Don't believe it. I like Notre Dame minus 21. I think they win by like 30 or something like that. Yep. This is going to be ridiculous. I just don't think this is going to be a game where if you're a Notre Dame fan, you kind of watch the first half, you go to the third quarter, and then go pick some apples or whatever you got to do.
Pick some apples?
21's the number, right?
Yeah, it's 21. Yeah, okay. I like Notre Dame minus 21.
Some apples?
I don't know what Notre Dame people do. Chris?
All right, put your keys in the dish, and here come the Fighting Irish.
What does that mean? Put your keys in the dish.
Chris's picks brought to you by Aluminium.
Don Draper just walked in, and here we go. The Fighting Irish are ready to go against Pitt.
A fine pomade.
They're fifth in defensive S&P Plus, and here we go. Take a Virginia slam, and let's go.
We don't know what S&P Plus is.
That's the joke.
That okay. If yeah. listen to the open, ladies and gentlemen, the bottom of the hour. See if Chris is not spot on with that old-timey open for Notre Dame. Good God almighty. At least get it to 2018. Guess not.
Guys, I'm going to take Penn State minus the 13.5 against Michigan State. The game is on the Big Ten Network at 2:30. I think Penn State's offense is really good against a offense for the Spartans that can't keep up with the scoring. Both defenses on both sides are pretty decent, but I think the way that Penn State is going to score today, give me minus the 13.5 in favor of Penn State in that one.
Okay, 13.5 Penn State. Got you, as we do our Saturday night specials here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Jonathan, Adam, and Chris with you. Last game, Oregon-Washington. I think it's an underrated rivalry. Adam, you gave already a pick on that game. I'm going to go with the over 58. That'll be my number there. Over 58 for Oregon-Washington.
Points, points, points.
Adam?
For my final game, an SEC tilt, a classic SEC matchup between Ole Miss and Arkansas.
Oh, no. Here we go.
Ole Miss and Arkansas. Arkansas is going to be, this is going to be some smash mouth SEC football. It's going to be rainy. It's going to be windy. They're not going to throw the ball. They may throw the ball four times in this game. Arkansas is going to run the ball, control the clock. Rakeem Boyd's a very good running back. They're going to keep the ball away from Ole Miss, who likes to throw, but doesn't do it all too great. I like the under in this game, 65.5. Give me the under in a classic SEC tilt, Ole Miss and Arkansas, under 65.5.
Okay, so get the stamp of approval out, because I am also taking the under, the 65.5 in that game as one of my picks. So do you guys just want more of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish? Like, I could give a bunch of the stats. I agree with Abdallah. The weather's going to play into the style of the game today, and I think it goes under the 65.5. So, yes, grab your lucky, and let's fight on the Irish.
You grab your lucky. And that's our Saturday Night Specials here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Time for a scoreboard.
The CCT scoreboard on ESPN. The CCT scoreboard on ESPN 1000.
Here's Chris Black. Chris?
Ohio State and Minnesota. 7 minutes left in the second quarter. Ohio State trailing at the moment. 14-10. Minnesota leads Ohio State. Ohio State's a third-ranked team in the country. Tennessee and Auburn. 3 minutes left in the second quarter. Auburn's up 17-10. Vandy. Vanderbilt's up 21-3 on Florida with 6 minutes left in the second quarter.
Dan
Upset
Mullen,
alert.
What the hell?
What is going on there? As Vandy just scored. So 21-3 at Ryan Field, Nebraska.
I tell you what, you come in, you play LSU, and then you go out on the road, you try to go into Vanderbilt. We play LSU, we play tough football. You can come on that game. We're going to
go Tigers.
Nebraska 7, Northwestern 7 with 3 minutes left in the second quarter. Maryland's up 24-0 on Rutgers with 4 minutes left in the second quarter. Iowa's up 21-10 on Indiana with 6:58 left in the second quarter. Grab your lucky and what? Okay, and that's the college football scoreboard.
I'm very much convinced that by the time we get to the end of the show's run this season, it's just going to be us doing impressions of the Notre Dame, like me doing a bad Ed Orgeron, Chris doing the Notre Dame into the college football playoff game that Notre Dame will be playing in against number one ranked Alabama, fourth ranked Notre Dame, and it's just going to be,
when are you coming? Are you gonna play Alabama's tough SEC team?
I hope that when LSU doesn't make the playoff, that next to Dino Babers is Ed Orgeron. I would just watch a channel. If ESPN could give me just one channel, maybe ESPN News East, just give me the one channel of just Ed Orgeron breaking down the game in one constant stream of thought. Just no breaks, just one constant stream of thought.
Just mumbling.
Let's double back on a contest that we just gave the score for. Minnesota is not just in a lucky situation to be up 14-10. They're really running the ball well on Ohio State, mm-hmm. and they're controlling the tempo of this game. You know, Ohio State's done such a great job this season of scoring quickly, scoring often. Dwayne Haskins has been fantastic. He's in the Heisman conversation. But the way P.J. Fleck And this Golden Gopher team has been playing here in the first half. Super impressive on the road in the Big Ten.
You're listening to Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Jonathan, Adam, and Chris with you. Let's take a look at a Big Ten matchup for tonight.
Number 12, Michigan versus 15, Wisconsin.
Desmond Howard gives his keys to the game, how Michigan can get the job done against Whiskey.
I think there has to be a wide receiver, a sophomore wide receiver named Donovan Peoples-Jones. Now, Donovan's about 6'2", 215 pounds, a really good receiver, excellent out in space. He's so good that even at that size, he's a punt returner. He has run one return for a touchdown already this season, so they have a lot of confidence in his ability with the ball in his hands. And he's become Shea Patterson's favorite target this season, especially with Tariq Black still out with a foot injury. So I think Donovan Peoples-Jones is going to have a monster game Saturday night for the Wolverines to win.
I'm looking forward to being toward the end of the season where we don't have many games. And there's Adam doing his Ed Ogeron, you doing your Irish. And I'm
here
doing,
come the Irish and made in the shade, and they are ready to fight on.
And me doing my Tim Tebow on the run.
Yes. I got something to say because I think Notre Dame is good.
So I'll be doing that for you during that time, too.
Someone is chasing me. I got to keep talking.
It's Tebow in a musical. That's what it sounds like.
That's what it does. So, Adam, what do you think now? Wisconsin, Michigan, this is a bigger, kind of a more of a long-form conversation about Jim Harbaugh, but people expected for Harbaugh to be able to turn things around from that first game against Notre Dame. People thought, okay, here we go again. Now, against non-top 25 teams, he's been quality. But we talk about teams in the top 15, he continues to be under 500 and struggling.
I think this is a bad matchup for Wisconsin. I think that especially at home, that Michigan's going to be able to score on them. I think that this is another game that we have as a loss for Wisconsin. I was going to take Michigan as one of my picks, but in the Jim Harbaugh conversation, when we look to it, what other games is he going to win this season? Because if you look at their schedule, they're going to play Wisconsin here, and then they have to go to Michigan State. It's going to be a tough game at Michigan State. I know Michigan State's not ranked. They're not very good, but you have to go to Michigan State. Always a tough game for Harbaugh, as they're very familiar with each other, obviously. Then you have the bye. After the bye, you get Penn State at home, a very good team. You go to Rutgers, you get Indiana at home, and then at Ohio State. So even if you beat Michigan State, you still have three. I have three losses on this schedule. So is Michigan always going to be a three-loss team? Losing their big game, whether it's to Notre Dame or whoever else they decide to schedule at the beginning of the season, then losing to Ohio State ultimately at the end of the season because Urban Meyer's a better coach than Jim Harbaugh. He recruits better. He's better on the field during games. He's just the overall better coach than Jim Harbaugh. And then losing to that other Big Ten team, whether it's Michigan State, Penn State, they barely won at Northwestern. Was it last week or 2 weeks ago? So are they always going to be a three-loss team? And how long is that going to be okay for Michigan fans? Because Jim Harbaugh was brought in here as the savior to get them back to the elite, to get them back to the college football championship, ultimately win a championship, get to the playoff and win a championship. And if you're constantly losing three games a season, two games a season, you're never going to get there.
You know, you look at this, the before 2015, that same offseason, Wisconsin hired a new coach that year too, Paul Christ. And if you look at the two head coaches, who's had more success? I think some could argue that Wisconsin's been the more successful program in that time span. So, Adam, you're correct. I mean, if you're a booster for Michigan, is this what you thought you were getting when you brought in Jim Harbaugh? I'm not sure if this is exactly what you thought you were getting. I think you thought you were getting a top three, top two head coach in college football. That has not been the case. And this is a tough spot because Wisconsin, even though they've disappointed to some extent so far this season, they're a tough team and they can run the ball.
I'm just thinking that you look at the comparison between Harbaugh and Brady Hoke, it's not that far off. I'm just saying. Maybe the recruiting's better, but as far as the results, what's really the difference?
Well,
one wears a headset, that's for sure.
I think that Harbaugh has better teams than Brady Hoke ever had.
Or as Ryan McGee said, 80 pounds. Yeah. The difference between the two.
Khakis and 80 pounds. I think that Harbaugh's teams are ultimately better. The problem is they're just not good enough to beat upper echelon teams. You're not good enough when you scheduled Alabama, you're not good enough to beat Alabama in the beginning of the season. When you scheduled Notre Dame at the beginning of the season, you're not good enough to beat Notre Dame, and that kind of derailed your season as a Big Ten fan, or as if you're a Michigan fan or a Big Ten fan. That kind of derailed the season because Notre Dame got their statement win early. Michigan got their statement loss early, and they kind of have to build back up, and they've been quietly building back up, playing easy teams, building back up, eking out a win on the road against Northwestern. Now they get Wisconsin at home, a ranked team. You have a chance to make another statement. Then you can beat Michigan State on the road, another big win for the program. Then you get Penn State at home. That's going to be the next test. And then after that, can you beat Ohio State on the road and keep them? Here's what's going to be. Can you beat Ohio State on the road and keep them out of the playoff?
Yeah, and to add stats to what you just said, Abdallah, in the next five games, Michigan is favored in the FBI, and the only one they're not is the sixth game against Ohio State. Mm-hmm.
Time for Tua Watch.
It's college football's highest honor.
From now on, your name will be followed by the words Heisman Trophy winner.
I will be behind me.
Along with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah, here's Jonathan Hood.
Time now for the Heisman Watch. Here's Chris Black. Chris?
So on ESPN.com each week, they poll the experts on ESPN.com, and 50 points go to Tua Tagovailoa for the number one person to be in the lead for the Heisman Watch. Second is Dwayne Haskins with 31. So basically, this is a runaway to this point, halfway through the season for Tua.
Next week I'm going to ask, if it wasn't the top five, it wasn't no quarterbacks, who would you have in the Heisman? We're going to go to that next week. If Tua wasn't there and it was non-quarterbacks, who would you have?
I would think the number one person would be Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
20 Wisconsin. Touchdowns, 25 incompletions. Total. That's it. 25 incompletions the entire year. That's it. Spray knee today. Watch out, Tua.
And
just be careful.
Not only the Heisman Trophy winner, more than likely, and also the Cy Young Award winner as well, because he only plays three quarters. And Jalen is the closer.
He's got a sprained knee. He might not want to, don't get tested out there.
It'll be Alabama against Mizzou. That'll be at 6 o'clock right here, Central Time. Thank you so much for listening and being part of the program here on Chicago's College Tailgate. Next week, 3 hours, our biggest show.
Let's do it.
12 to 3 p.m. Central Time next Saturday.
Should be fun.
Looking forward to it. So along with Adam Abdallah and Chris Black, this is Jonathan Hood. Our thanks to Eric and Felix on the other side of the glass. Stay tuned now. Grab your lucky, and it's Notre Dame as they get ready to take on Pittsburgh. 12:30 pregame right here on the home of the Irish, ESPN 1000. Talk to you next Saturday. So long for now.
Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
We'll take it.
Love college football.
Can he take this home?
You've come to the right place.
He's gone! Touchdown again, Josh Adams!
This is your home for Chicago's college tailgate.
Downfield looking for Godwin into his hands, and guess which dogs are barking first? Ugga, get after it!
Chicago's college tailgate.
Fires to the end zone. Touchdown! Alabama wins!
On ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
The game is over! The Wildcats prevail!
It's time for Chicago's college tailgate on ESPN 1000.
The open field. It's the corner.
Got a great block. Unbelievable! 56 yards! Touchdown! USC!
This is Chicago's College Tailgate, along with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah. Here's Jonathan Hood.
This is week 7 of Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Along with Adam Abdallah and Chris Black, this is Jonathan Hood. Hit us up on Twitter at ESPN 1000 CCT. Also on the Facebook wall, facebook.com, look for Chicago's College Tailgate. We're just building a bridge to Notre Dame football to take on Pittsburgh. That's a 12:30 pregame right here on the home of the Irish, ESPN 1000. Guys, Notre Dame's success. You look at the first three games with quarterback Brennan Winbush scoring in the 20s with wins, though. But as we look at this now, Adam, with Ian Book as a quarterback for Notre Dame, things have really turned around offensively. A 56-27 win against Wake Forest, a 38-17 win against Stanford, a 45-23 win against Vautech. Things are looking up offensively for sure for the undefeated Irish.
Well, and now they have that offense to go along with that great defense. You have a guy who's much more accurate than Brandon Winbush ever was. You've got a guy who can command the offense down the field and score when you need him to. And that has been what's been missing from Notre Dame for all this time. They've always had a decent defense. They had a great defense a few years ago. Now they have another great defense. They've got a lot of playmakers on that side of the ball, a really good defensive line, a really good secondary, but they've never been, it's like, it's always been, well, can Notre Dame keep up with the scoring though? You know, they can hold opponents to 21 if they need to, but can they score 21? And now with Ian Book running that offense, they have that ability.
And guys, if we take a look at the Fighting Irish, we've seen them in back-to-back weeks now be excellent in the second half. It was so important what we saw against Stanford in the second half from the Fighting Irish, and also last weekend in Blacksburg. They win the game 45-23, and really, Vatek was never in it, especially in the second half. And you talk about Ian Book and how good he's been since he's been the starter. How about the running back, Dexter Williams? He was fantastic last week. 17 carries, 178 yards, three touchdowns, including that 96-yarder that hushed the crowd in Blacksburg last week. So this team developing into a monster in the second half of competition.
Yeah, Tavon Cooney, the linebacker for Notre Dame, who's got 48 tackles, one sack, one interception, one fumble recovery through the first six games. He's been tremendous, as well as defensive lineman Jerry Tillery. He leads that really unit up front, 7.5 sacks for him. He's been terrific as well. Some thoughts from Brian Kelly, the head coach for Notre Dame, as the Irish ready to take on Pittsburgh.
Number 5, Notre Dame versus Pittsburgh.
Third down, they got a really good scheme. Randy Bates is, I know very well, he plays a lot of guys, keeps their guys fresh. They play with a chip on their shoulder. They're going to play hard. And, you know, anytime you get a team that has, you know, that kind of demeanor, you know, they're going to keep getting after you. They take the ball away, too. So they're well coached. First and second down, you know, they're going to be impressed, and they're going to force you to make some plays. You know, nothing's coming easy. You got to go make plays against their defense. If you watch all of their games, teams have to make plays. Syracuse didn't make some plays that they had made because they forced them into some turnovers. And then on third down, they were very difficult to move the ball on third down.
Okay, one thing we have to point out, though, when it comes to Pitt, Chris, is that you've seen Pitt upset teams before. Each of the last two seasons, Pitt getting the job done against Miami, Pitt getting the job done against Clemson. You know, they have not necessarily been a great football team over the last few years, especially under Pat Narduzzi. But the point is, though, is that they are upset-minded the last few years against two quality programs at the time.
Yeah, the Pitt Panthers have won two of their last three games against AP top five opponents, both as an unranked team. So they find a way to win in matchups where they are the big underdog, and they find a way to surprise and delight, really. So it's really a lurking as we enter October, and now the games really start to matter as we start to look towards the playoff picture. Notre Dame should not trip up here, but Pitt's going to be up for the challenge.
I love you guys. You guys are so good.
Did we put the hard sell on for you?
Yeah, what are you doing? Notre Dame's going to run Pitt out of the gym today. Like, this is not even going to be a thing.
Well, Abdallah, they play on a field, and
you know what I mean.
The FBI,
you wasn't with me shooting in the gym.
The ESPN FBI is suggesting that Notre Dame will win this game 96% of the time.
Yeah. Come on.
We're just giving facts.
I understand.
While you're doing that,
which is great. That's cool. You want to build up Pitt? That's fine. That's fine.
Adam, we're just giving the facts that Pitt can be upset-minded the last couple of years.
Yeah, everybody's upset-minded.
Yeah, did you not hear the stat?
Not everybody.
I'm already looking ahead.
Can I ask you a question? Is UTEP upset minded? Okay.
They could be.
Okay. No, okay.
UTEP, I'm sure they go in thinking they can win the game. They've got upset on their minds. I'm sure they do.
San Jose, is that the upset
minded?
I'm
already looking ahead to see if there's a trip up game on Notre Dame's schedule because November is lurking. November is just around the corner. I'm going through here now and seeing how Brian Kelly can set up his team to make a college football playoff. I'm looking at next week as the bye, and then they go to Navy. And then the calendar, we flip it to November. And that has been Notre Dame's problem is November. Brian Kelly is 17-14 in the month of November as coach of Notre Dame. Last year, they lost to Miami and Stanford. 2016, they lost to Navy, Virginia Tech, and USC. In 2015, they only had one loss the entire season, and then they lost at the end of the season to Stanford on a road game. So what you've got to do is, this is all great for Notre Dame. They're undefeated. That's cool. They're going to win today. They're going to cover. That's fine. The point is, the trip-up games don't come until November. We've got to start talking about this team as a college football playoff team and looking at when possible trip-up games can be. They have to go to Northwestern, they get Florida State at home, they get Syracuse at home, and then they have to go to USC. All very winnable games. Very winnable. Syracuse is going to be tough, but you get them at home. And then USC, I don't know what USC is going to be at the end of the season. They're always, they're different from week to week. They're not the same team that they are at the beginning of the season that they are at the end of the season, but Clay Helton's the coach. So, so it's a very winnable game, but you still have to go into the month of November for Notre Dame and say, is there a trip-up game for Notre Dame to November themselves like they have in the past?
If you're a Notre Dame fan, you should be thrilled at the way this schedule is shaping up for you. You have Pittsburgh today, Navy, Northwestern, Florida State, Syracuse, USC. Really, I think the only game you should be worried about is the USC game because of the talent level on that team. They are not a good team right now, but they have max-level talent, especially out west. Everyone else, Pittsburgh you should take care of, Navy you should take care of. Trip-up game at Northwestern, are you kidding me? Is it because the grass is going to be longer up there? I mean, you know, the fan, you know, if you look in the stands, it's going to be all Notre Dame
it
fans
better be. It's
at
not
Ryan
far
Field.
Away.
Florida State, they've definitely underachieved this season. And Syracuse, even though a cute story in September,
upset on their mind.
That does not necessarily mean anything once we get into November.
They will have upset on their mind. Dino Babers will have upset on his mind.
Sure.
And also take over GameCast
yes.
at the end of the season for the national title game.
That's his national title game. If he can go in and beat Notre Dame and keep them out of the playoff, and he's doing that GameCast, he's like, "That's his, you know why Notre Dame's not in this game? Because we beat them. That's why." You know he's going to do that.
With his pizza and warm beer in Bristol, put his feet up as you listen to Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Jonathan, Adam, and Chris with you. And the thoughts now from Pat Narduzzi, the head coach for Pitt. He says that he's looking forward to this game because he knows Pitt is going to be an underdog.
We're not thinking about big upsets. We're thinking about us. We think about the guys in this room and us doing the details of what we need to do to, you know, to be good on the first play of the game. And then as soon as the first play of the game's over, we go to the next play. And play one play at a time, and that's how you win football games. And we're not talking any upsets. We never do. We're talking about us and being a better football team and executing. And it's a matter when you execute and you believe in what you're doing, and those are the keys to playing well and having a chance to win the football game. That's all. You just want a chance.
So the thoughts there from Pat Narduzzi, the head coach for Pitt. As again, Pittsburgh comes in 3-3 on the season. Notre Dame is undefeated, and in some of these places, I know we're going to get to the playoff predictor sometime this hour, Chris. But the point is that there have been a number of places that we have seen where they have, where many have Notre Dame in that four, maybe over Georgia, maybe over Clemson in some sites. So many are looking at the schedule for Notre Dame, how they've turned it around offensively, and believe that the arrow is pointing up.
Well, if you're just picking us up here in week 7 of the college football season, maybe you've been paying attention to baseball. Maybe you're not the biggest college football fan, but now you're just listening to this show here in Chicago, and you're like, all right, let's know what's going on. As we enter week 7 here with Notre Dame undefeated, the conversation from here on out will be if there are four at the top undefeated as well. When we get to the end, is Notre Dame a team without a conference championship game going to be slotted into the playoff without having to play that extra game? Because we know Georgia and Alabama have a showdown. If they both get to the undefeated SEC championship game, they will have to play each other. So one of those teams will lose. We have the same thing that could happen in the Big Ten with Ohio State. We then look at Clemson. Will Clemson get there undefeated? All of these teams in the other conferences, since Notre Dame is an independent, they are going to have a conference championship game to add to the resume that they will submit for the college football playoff. And that's something that if you're picking this up in week 7, you're going to hear a lot on SportsCenter, College Game Day, all over talk radio, talking about, does Notre Dame deserve a shot at the college football playoff because they are a team that plays one less game because they are not in a conference? And that's what's so fascinating about this whole situation, because I think what we've seen from Notre Dame already beating three ranked opponents with a chance to probably beat four, because USC will probably be ranked by the time they play at the end of the season. If you beat four ranked opponents the way you have, going to Blacksburg, winning against Michigan to start the season, beating Stanford at home convincingly when they were seventh ranked in the country, I think the resume is going to be in favor of the Fighting Irish. They just better hope that one of those other teams trips up before they get to the conference championship game. So then you don't have to have the conversation. A one-loss Georgia team that loses to Alabama early or like late in that game, like by a field goal, mm-hmm. a small margin. Do you have to decide between that one-loss team in the championship game of the SEC or an undefeated Notre Dame?
They currently have a 62% chance to make the playoff for the playoff ESPN's playoff predictor. But to what you said, Chris, about that close Alabama-Georgia game that could be in the SEC championship game, I think that we're now at the point also where Notre Dame can't just win games. You have to – I need style points, too, because I'm not saying that they're – better than Georgia or they're worse than Georgia, because to me it's very easy for the playoff committee. If Georgia or Alabama loses the SEC championship game, you just take them out because you've got four undefeated teams. But if it's close and you're kind of saying, well, are they better than, is Notre Dame better than Clemson? Is Notre Dame better than Ohio State? Like, maybe it's not just about Alabama and Georgia. Maybe it's about those two other teams. Ohio State, yeah, they get the road on the they get the win on the road against Penn State. Clemson almost trips up after an injury to their quarterback. So you have to look at not just the loser of the SEC championship game, maybe out. Maybe it's one of those other teams. Maybe the Big Ten doesn't get a team in again this year. Maybe Clemson mm-hmm. misses out just because you have to look at their schedule. You have to look at strength of schedule. Alabama is just trucking people at this point. They may have the worst strength of schedule at this point, Alabama may, but you have to look at the way that they're beating teams and just trucking teams. And there's no way you can just, what if Alabama loses the SEC championship game? Do you take them out after the season they've had so far?
No, a one-loss Alabama team would make the playoff.
You would have to think so.
Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000.
Look at what we saw 2 weeks ago. What was the best game from 2 weeks ago in week five of the college football night? It was Penn State, Ohio State.
Right.
Penn State loses late, right? Say Penn State goes on and wins the rest of their schedule. They win the Big Ten championship game. If Penn State has one loss and that one loss is at home against Ohio State late, does Penn State get in over Notre Dame or do you still take Notre Dame? See what I'm saying? Like, there are teams that are lurking. Texas. Texas has one loss. If Texas goes undefeated the rest of the way out, are they
back, folks?
Texas is back, folks!
No. The answer to the question is no. Because you follow the money in that situation, you always follow the money. And any team that has a $700 million endowment, like Notre Dame, you're going to follow the money.
Well, Washington is also one of those one-loss teams that could possibly run the table. If they beat Oregon today, they get to the Pac-12 championship game, they win that game, they have one loss. Their one loss is against an SEC team in SEC country in Atlanta, Georgia.
But a trash SEC team. Auburn's not good.
Okay. I'm just laying out there the resume. Washington and their one loss compared to Notre Dame's schedule where they don't have a conference championship game. I think there could be a conversation here where people are going to be like, I'm not so sure. Now, Lee Corso this morning kept saying that, you know, Notre Dame is going to get in if they're undefeated.
Right.
Because of who they are. It's mm-hmm. Notre Dame football. There's no way they will not have an mm-hmm. undefeated Notre Dame football team in the college football playoff.
So thoughts now from Paul Feinbaum. He thinks that Notre Dame has a clear path to the playoff.
It would take a leap of faith that I know only your partner would have to think that Notre Dame would be undefeated right now. And really, with a very clear path to the playoff, and I think that's where they are. You can look the rest of the way and find a couple of spots at Northwestern, at SC, but to me, I think they've overcome the biggest and toughest part of the schedule.
Time for scoreboard.
The CCT scoreboard on ESPN 1000.
At 15 at the bottom, at 45 at the top, we'll give you college football scores four times an hour. Here's Chris Black. Chris?
All right, guys, taking a look at the top 25 in the Big Ten this moment. The games just started about 15 minutes ago. Ohio State's up 3-0 on Minnesota with 9 minutes left in the first quarter. Tennessee and Auburn playing down in Auburn, and Auburn leads 7-0 with 9 minutes left in the first quarter in that game. Also in the top 25, we have Vanderbilt and Florida early in this one, 7 minutes left in the first quarter. No score. Other competition going on in the Big Ten right now. Nebraska's up early, 7-0 on Northwestern. They have the ball back with 12 minutes left in the first quarter.
Yeah, wait, hold on. Adam, early this morning, Bovada, did you check Nebraska. Did you or did you not? Because it's not part of our picks, but just
no.
Tell me.
I checked the over.
I checked the over at 59 and a half yesterday because I knew it went up to 60 something. So.
All right. But you didn't look at it because I think Nebraska keeps it close.
Oh, well, please. But, Scott Frost's first win.
No, see.
Oh, no.
This place would melt.
No.
I don't understand.
Can I say this?
Coach Fitz and the Cats.
There's two things that I hope. I hope that Northwestern wins today, and I hope that Scott Frost gets his first win against Illinois.
Chris?
Continuing on in the Big Ten, scores right now, no score between Maryland and Rutgers. 9 minutes left in the first quarter. Iowa and Indiana, barn burner, early. 10 minutes left in the first quarter. 3-0 Indiana with the lead, and that's the scoreboard.
Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000. The ESPN app will get a chance to talk Bama coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Ooh.
Right here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. They happen to be the number one team in the country, so we probably should have a guest on talking about their matchup against Mizzou later on tonight. We now turn to really the game of the day.
Number 2 Georgia at number 13 LSU.
Now coming into this game, guys, as far as Georgia's concerned, this will be their biggest test of the year. There's no question. But also there's a concern about some injuries on the offensive line. There's a possibility, from what I've been told, is that there's going to be two freshman guards that will be playing against LSU. If you are, you know, Coach Ogeron.
Go Tigers.
You definitely are probably going to dial up the blitz as much as possible to put pressure on Jake Fromm, the quarterback for Georgia. This is a big one. Some thoughts from Kirby Smart on the noise level as Georgia travels to Death Valley.
Every time you go on the road, you have crowd noise. You have to prepare for it.
Go Tigers.
If you belabor the point and talk about it, they may start believing all of
go
it.
Tigers.
I mean, at the end of the day, loud is loud.
Go Tigers.
You only get so loud where you can't hear anything. And you cannot hear anything in that stadium. Can't hear anything in a lot of SEC stadiums. So, I mean, it is what it is.
Go
we got to go out and execute. We know that'll be a factor. We know that it'll cause, it makes it hard on the offensive line. Those are all factors. We practice with noise. We do it all summer. We try to make ourselves comfortable being uncomfortable.
Go Tigers.
And so we can't let it be a distraction for us.
Big game here, Adam, as Georgia takes on LSU. This is the most impactful game regarding the playoff of the day.
I would say that this is Georgia's chance to possibly trip up, but you have LSU coming off that loss, a tough SEC game against Florida, so they're going to be a little bit banged up as well, just as all SEC teams are this time of the year. I think that Georgia is going to be able to score on LSU. And the question is always going to be, can LSU score? And with Joe Burrows, he was able to score against Florida. He finally threw his first two interceptions of the year, which ultimately cost them the game against Florida. And I think that Georgia's secondary is going to be able to match up, and Joe Burrows is not going to be able to find the success that he was able to, and probably have more unsuccessful plays like the two interceptions against Georgia. I think this is a game where Georgia's defense really shows up, and it could be close, but I think Georgia runs away with it late. But this is a bad matchup for LSU's offense.
I think a lot of people have been surprised at how good Georgia's defense has been this season.
Go Tigers.
I think many times we've seen them in a spot where we thought it would be closer than it really is, and the Bulldogs show up defensively. Something else I want to point out is Georgia leads the SEC with 245 rushing yards per game this season. LSU allowed a season-high 215 yards rushing in the loss to Florida last week. So I think Georgia running the ball, helping out Jake Fromm a bit. He threw three touchdown passes last week. But as you said, Jonathan, with the protection on the front line, I think running the ball will be key. And I think the Georgia Bulldogs defense will be allowed to control the game. Like Abdallah, you said, do you trust the quarterback situation for the Tigers? No one in the last 20 years has ever trusted the quarterback situation with the LSU Tigers. So I think even though this is a tough road game, they're lucky it's during the day. And it's not Death Valley at night, because that place is a wild, wild place in the SEC. Mm-hmm. And I think Georgia actually will control the ball, run it, and play good defense. And I think they can get a win on the road in the SEC.
Tim Tebow thinks the LSU is under the radar.
I think why we're not talking about LSU is because we talk about Alabama and Georgia, and they set the standard. Listen, no one's going to live up to Alabama. They're just that much better than everybody else. And I think LSU, if they're in a different conference, they're competing for the college football playoff. But we know they have to go play LSU. They would have to get to a conference championship, which they would play Georgia again probably. And that is just a tough road to hoe. They beat beat two top 10 teams, and people are forgetting Miami's really good now, 5-1. They smashed Miami. And so this, and they beat Auburn at Auburn. That's a huge win. So, you know, I think for people are forgetting what LSU has done, and you're hyping up so many other teams and Notre Dame, but you look at LSU's wins, and they're more impressive than most teams in the country.
All right, let's take a look at their wins, Adam. So we're talking about Miami at the beginning of the season, followed by, what is that? Oh, Southeast Louisiana. Number 7 Auburn at the time, they won by one. Louisiana Tech, Ole Miss, 45-16. That was a bunch of points there, because 45-16 was a ton for LSU. And then the loss against Florida, 27-19. Would you put that resume, that impressive resume, against some of the other top teams in college football?
Yeah, I think that they're a good football team amongst great football teams.
That's
LSU,
correct.
We didn't expect this from LSU. When Chris and I did our preview podcast of the over-unders, we both took the under on LSU because we didn't think that they would be able to have this success on offense. It's all about their offense. Everybody kind of knew that this defense was going to be good. Not this good, but good enough to compete and hold teams to where if their offense can put up some points, maybe they'll win a few games. Well, their offense put up a few points and they won a few games.
Yes, that's right.
Right? But when they face legit defenses, they're not able to.
Right.
So going in or having Georgia come to them at home, yeah, it's an advantage. And it's a disadvantage that it's not at night. But this is a top-tier defense. Georgia is a top-tier defense, so I don't see them winning this game, and it's LSU back to being where Les Miles had them at a point, where you're just good enough to lose to top SEC teams, and that's what you are.
But you have a nice, respectable bowl game at
exactly.
the end.
Yeah. Nice, respectable bowl game. Mm-hmm. You lose to Alabama. Maybe you beat them, but then you lose in the you beat them 1 year, you lose in the SEC championship mm-hmm. game. You're not gonna make a playoff. With Georgia and Alabama in the SEC, LSU's always going to be third.
Yeah. Definitely on the second level, right?
Mm-hmm.
Abdallah referenced the fact that before the season, what we were talking about with LSU, they came into the season ranked 25th. The over-under on win total was 7.5 games. They're already at the 5 wins right now as we enter week 7. As we headed into the season, their strength of schedule in the entire country was 3rd. Here's the thing. At this point, they've already beaten 2 ranked teams, right? They lost to Florida, which was the 3rd ranked team on their schedule. Coming up, today at Georgia, ranked. Next week, Mississippi State, ranked 24th. The week after that, they play Alabama, ranked 1st. They have 2 weeks off of Arkansas and Rice, and then they end this season with Texas A&M, who's ranked 22nd. This team has 4 more ranked opponents, including the best team in the country and the second best team in the country today.
Go Tigers.
Remaining on their schedule. So I think even though they've been somewhat of a darling to this point of the college football season with the 2 big ranked wins, mm-hmm. Auburn and Miami, there is an element here where that could drop off the table real quickly with a loss today. Say you underperform against Mississippi State, and then you lose to Alabama, a 3-game losing streak.
Right.
Now no one's talking about LSU in the college football playoff. No one's talking about them being a good to great team.
Yeah.
They're just saying, well, they're just another run-of-the-mill SEC team.
Well, like I said, like this is the ultimate job for Coach Orgeron. You lose this one, you're done. You'll never coach again. Not as a head coach.
Mm-mm.
This is the ultimate job. You sound like LSU.
Oh, yeah.
You walk like LSU. You sound like a Gator, even though you're an LSU. But I don't have any closed captioning for this, so please understand what Coach Orgeron's going to say.
Coach O, after a week of practice, how do you feel the focus and energy has been with this team preparing for Georgia?
It started on Saturday night. These guys were very disappointed in our first loss of the season, but we moved on. We pressed on to Georgia. It's been a fantastic week.
It's hard to believe that we're already halfway through the season with Game 7 coming up this weekend. So what have you learned from your team so far this season about what you like best about them and some of the things that they still need to work on?
We're going to fight for 60 minutes. I know that. We're playing as a team. We need to execute better a certain situation. We need to make the plays when we have a chance to make the plays. We need to take care of the football better than we did the last 3 games.
When you look at this Georgia offense, there's talent all over the field led by an experienced quarterback who's very efficient with the football. When it comes to approaching a defensive game plan, what do you put in place knowing that there aren't very many weak spots?
Yeah, well, it all starts with the offensive line. You know, they're going to play basic football. They come off the football and take the open gap. You have to take care of your gap and tackle. You have to be in the right place. Your safeties can't come up when playing the run. They'll throw the ball over your head, and you have to keep from in the pocket.
On the other side of the ball, it's Kirby Smart's unit, a 3-4 defense with not very many holes. So how much does it help that Joe Burrow in this offense has already gone through some road-tested, big-time elite defenses getting ready for this weekend?
Yeah, you know, and it helps that offensive line that's continuity for the second week. It's going to be another tremendous talent. But we have some athletes ourselves. We have to put them in space and let them make plays.
Last year, this team rebounded after a tough loss and played the best football of the season after that. Do you have a sense that that's the mentality of this team to be able to rebound like that again?
I know they're hungry, and we expect to rebound Saturday. Now, this is a tough opponent. This is one of the best opponents we played here at LSU in years. It's going to be a tremendous challenge. I'm glad we got them at home. I know the crowd is going to be a big-time advantage. We're looking forward to Saturday.
Thanks a lot, Coach Gluck.
Go Tigers.
So the thoughts there from Coach Ogeron, courtesy of Swamp People. And coming up, we'll have a CCT scoreboard and find out about what's going on with Alabama. That's next.
You love college football? You've come to the right place. Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. The CCT scoreboard on ESPN 1000.
Time for a CCT scoreboard. Here's Chris Black. Chris?
Let's take a look at the top 25 in the Big Ten right now. Ohio State's up on Minnesota. 4 minutes left in the first quarter. 3-0 over the Golden Gophers. Auburn's up 10-3 on Tennessee with 2 minutes left in the first quarter of action there. Vanderbilt and Florida. 2 minutes left in the first quarter. Florida's ranked 14th. Vanderbilt unranked. Vandy's up 7-0 at the moment on the Gators.
Look out.
Also action taking place in the Big Ten. Nebraska and Northwestern at Ryan Field. Nebraska up 7-0 with 3 minutes left in the first quarter. Rutgers and Maryland with 3 minutes left in the first, tied at 0. And Iowa and Indiana playing with 4 minutes left in the first quarter. Iowa's up 7-3 on the Hoosiers.
This is your home for Chicago's College Tailgate and the home for Fighting Irish football, ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Glad you're with us here for Chicago's College Tailgate Week 7 here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app, along with Adam Abdallah and Chris Bleck. Jonathan Hood with you. We ask you to follow us on Twitter at ESPN 1000 CCT for Chicago's College Tailgate. We'll have our Saturday night specials coming up at the top of the hour, and we're leading you into Notre Dame football as they take on Pitt. 12:30 pregame right here on the home of the Irish, ESPN 1000. We turn to Matt Zedditz, who covers the Alabama Crimson Tide for AL.com, and he joins us here on Chicago's College Tailgate. Matt, it's Jonathan, Adam, and Chris. Thanks so much for your time.
No problem at all, guys. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Matt. So if Alabama was a musical act, exactly what is it that you'd be covering every week? Are you covering Beyonce every week? How would you refer to Alabama in your coverage with them every week?
That's a good question, and I would love – I'd like to think to have a good enough sense of humor to be able to come up with something that would make you guys laugh with that, but – I think my wife might be disappointed with me. I can't really think of any good comparison for that. Might have to go with Beyonce.
What would you say, Adam?
Ah, man. The Beatles? No, it's not the Beatles. No. They're not that old.
Are they Drake right now? Is that?
Yeah.
Well, I can't think of anything good. Who's even great right now from a music standpoint? My life is so consumed by football that I couldn't even tell you who is great right now from a music standpoint.
I would say probably Drake, but Alabama's not going around canceling concerts left and right like Drake is. So I don't see them canceling this game today. But the top story in Alabama, I don't know, they're giving up a lot of points. They've given up more passing touchdowns than they have all of last year with 9. They gave up 8 last year. That's fine. I get that. The return of Dixieland Delight is tonight. What are the odds that we get a clean version of Dixieland Delight from the crowd tonight in Tuscaloosa?
Probably slim. And I do respect the fact that interview starts with two slim music questions. I do appreciate that. But I'd probably say slim. I don't have too much confidence in the Alabama fan base on that one.
Matt, when was the last time you saw an offense this good for the Crimson Tide?
Well, I've been here since early 2015, so this is season number 4 for me, and in the 4 years I've been here, I think this is far and away, I think it's fair to say that far and away the best offense that I've seen Alabama was, and just overall in time that I've been around football, one of the better, more explosive, more dynamic offenses that I've seen. They really are special offensively. Matt, and that quarterback's kind of good, too.
Yeah, Matt Zenitz from AL.com with us here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Matt, when we look at both quarterbacks, for those that have not seen, and I don't know how you've missed Alabama all the way to this point, but when you look at Tua and you look at Jalen Hurts, could you break down both quarterbacks? What do both quarterbacks do well for Coach Saban?
Tua is just special in terms of accuracy, anticipation as a passer, instincts, the ability to read a defense, and just doing some ridiculous things. So, I mean, if you look at the numbers, and I'm not sure if you guys have, that the numbers are just, I mean, not even video game-like anymore, because for you to accomplish these kinds of numbers in a video game, first of all, you would have to be great at that video game, would need to throw in, like, a couple cheat codes and put the game on, like, the rookie level to go along with that. So I can't even call the numbers video game-like anymore. It's just beyond crazy what he's doing. And it's funny thinking back to the beginning of the year, because going into the year, even with what he did in the national championship game, he had never started a game before. So the expectations, which included people talking about him as the Heisman favorite going into the year, I thought it had reached a point where, I don't know if unrealistic is the right word, but I thought it was unfair to a certain degree, just considering he hadn't even started a game yet. And one of the most impressive and craziest parts to me of just what he's done through the early part of the year is not only has he met ridiculous expectations, they're ridiculous expectations, but he's probably even exceeded it. And one of the numbers that's really stuck out to me is that Baker Mayfield right now holds the NCAA record, single season record for passer efficiency rating, which I think for him is somewhere in the range of 198.5, 198.7, something like that. And Baker had broken it by 7, the previous record. Right now, and obviously there's a lot of season left, but right now, Tua's passer efficiency rating is 60 points above what Baker's record is. And one of the other crazy numbers is that at this point, Tua has 20 total touchdowns, has 25 incompletions. This guy has only 5 more incompletions than total touchdowns through the halfway point of the regular season. It's crazy.
Coach Saban stressed that he wanted to see an improvement on defense this week. How is Alabama going to do that with Trayvon Diggs out for the season?
It's a good question. And I think this might be a test for Alabama defensively. So it helps them that Missouri's top receiver, Emmanuel Hall, is out, a talented kid who's probably one of the better deep threats in not only the SEC, but in the country. He's averaging, I think in excess of 20 yards per catch the last couple of years. So it takes away a threat for Missouri. But I do think that this week will be a challenge for that defense as a whole, particularly the secondary, when you have to go against a quarterback like Drew Locke. You know, I mean, just talking to some NFL people going into the year, they talked about him being a potential early-round guy. And I know some of the media NFL draft analyst guys have him right now as one of the better quarterback prospects for next year's draft.
Matt, we're sitting in Chicago in the middle of the country, and we take a look and we watch all the different college football programs and the elite ones. We say, how are they so good? Besides just winning games and the quarterback, is there anything you've picked up on at Alabama to why the Crimson Tide year in and year out are so good and so dominant in college football?
100%. And do you know what the reason is?
What's that?
When you have good players.
Yeah.
It helps when you have good players. And Alabama, if you look at the last 10 years, they've been consistently ranked among the top recruiting classes in the country. So obviously it helps to have great coaches, which they have. They have arguably the best coach of all time in college football with Coach Saban. But it helps when you have good players. And they've done a great job from a recruiting standpoint. It's a big deal also.
Well, Matt, can you put in perspective what you're covering? Because when we look at some of the all-time great coaches, and again, Nick Saban is right there amongst some of the great coaches in sports in general. Is it Phil Jackson, his championships in the NBA? Is it a great NFL coach? Can you put in perspective Saban versus other great coaches in sports?
I mean, probably the best one is Belichick, and that comparison is even better just considering the relationship that Coach Saban has with Coach Belichick. But that's really the only one that truly comes to mind for me. Like with the Patriots, it's crazy that, what has it been, 15 years that the Patriots have been one of the better teams in the NFL, mm-hmm. that even losing players with the exception of Tom Brady, that just year in and year out,
just kind of go into the year expecting the Patriots to be right back in the mix for a championship, and it's the same kind of thing for Alabama. The most amazing part to me is they lose players to the NFL every year and just find a way to consistently reload and be right back in the mix for a national championship. It's amazing.
They still have to play LSU. They still have to play Auburn at the end of the season. And then if they run the table or whatever, get to the SEC championship game at the end of the season, when it comes time for the college football playoff, there will be people, mostly on Twitter, that will detract from Alabama's schedule and say that they have the easiest schedule. As someone who watches this team every week, what would you say to the people that say that Alabama just loads up on cupcakes and has the easiest schedule out of the undefeated teams, should they go undefeated?
Well, the schedule to this point hasn't really been that challenging, so I can understand why people would be saying that. And LSU, I don't think that LSU is really anything special this year. The biggest challenge, I mean, before the playoff time, probably come in the SEC championship game if Alabama does make it to that point. Because, I mean, aside from non-conference games, which, I mean, teams are kind of in a position that you settle for who you can set games up with. And this year, I mean, games are set up so well in advance that it's hard to know what teams are going to be like. So maybe Louisville looked like they were going to be better a few years ago when the game was set up than what they ended up being this year. But, I mean, the schedule definitely for Alabama this year is not as challenging as some of the schedules for previous Alabama teams that I've covered. And the main reason for that is just the SEC as a whole is somewhat down right now, with the exception of Georgia. So Auburn was supposed to be a lot better than what they are. They're struggling. LSU, I mean, it's ranked highly right now, but has their issues. And the best team, aside from Alabama, I mean, one of the best teams in the conference to go along with them is Georgia. And it's not a team that they play in the regular season.
Matt, as always, we appreciate your time. Big game tonight, right? Alabama, Mizzou, they're all big games, right?
It's going to be interesting. Yeah, it might be more interesting than people realize. One thing that takes away from it is the fact that receiver from Missouri is out, but I can tell you guys that people inside that building have had for a while legitimate question marks about that defense, about the Alabama defense, and feel like it's very much a work in progress, and now they have to deal with losing one of their key players within that defense that once again there were already concerns about. So when you face one of the better quarterbacks in the country, it could make things interesting. So something to keep an eye on going into this game.
Thanks for coming on with us. We appreciate it.
No problem at all, guys.
Matt Zenitz from AL.com with us here on Chicago's College Tailgate. Now time for a scoreboard.
The CCT scoreboard on ESPN 1000.
All right, guys, let's take a look at the top 25 in the Big Ten at this moment. Ohio State's up 10-7 on Minnesota with 25 seconds left in the first quarter. Auburn's up 10-3 on Tennessee with 13 minutes left in the second quarter. So we take a look at the top 25. Vanderbilt, 7. Florida, 3 with 14 minutes left in the second quarter. And also action going on in the Big Ten at this moment. Northwestern in Nebraska. Nebraska's up 7-0 on Northwestern with 13 minutes left in the second quarter. Rutgers and Maryland. Maryland jumps out 10-0 on Rutgers with 15 minutes. They're just about to kick off the second quarter here in that action. And then Iowa and Indiana. Iowa's up 14-3 with a minute left in the first quarter.
Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Jonathan, Adam, and Chris with you. Adam, tell us something that we didn't know.
Guys, are you looking for that neighborhood gem of a restaurant?
Yes.
You know that place with a cozy atmosphere and impeccable menu? Not an easy find, as some would say. Here's some advice. Go experience Vincitore.
Vincitore.
Vincitore Italian cuisine serves in a casual trattoria setting in the heart of Westmont, Illinois. Vincitore's menu features exquisite pasta, seafood, steaks, veal, chops, and salads, all freshly prepared daily. Featuring owner and Chef Bob's individual style. That's Chef Bob. He's got an individual style.
He's good.
Head to Vincitore tonight and feast on some incredible Italian dishes paired with tantalizing wine. For reservations, info, and salivating photos, head to Vincitore.com.
Playoff predictor next.
All of the latest college football scores, previews, and lines. Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000. Chicago's College Tailgate.
The Playoff Predictor. Sure, it's a guess, but it's as educated of a guess as there can be.
Because when it comes to deciding the four teams in the playoff, everything matters.
In a game of hypotheticals.
Who's in?
Playoff Predictor right here on Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000. The ESPN app will have our Saturday night special picks for you at the top of the hour right here on ESPN 1000. Jonathan, Adam, and Chris with you. Chris, let's take a look at the playoff predictor.
Okay, guys, as we head into week seven, I think the top four teams are probably still the ones that we've been seeing through the first 6 weeks of the season. You're going to get Alabama number one. Then you're going to be looking at, I think that's where you place Georgia, Ohio State, and Clemson to round out the four. Now, obviously, this will change as we go ahead. I think the team sitting on the cut line, that's Notre Dame right there. They would be the fifth team. Then we're looking at West Virginia, which is an undefeated product. And then also, you get Washington and Penn State, Texas, all kind of lurking with one loss. The key here is when you look at strength of schedule, you compare everyone in the top four, Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Clemson. Strength of schedule does not match up at the moment with Notre Dame. Their strength of schedule is at 11. But Notre Dame does not have the conference championship game, which could be a de facto knockout matchup between Georgia and Alabama as we head along.
I agree with you. I think the SEC championship game is going to be that one game that kind of keeps people out. Now, Alabama was bitten by the injury bug last season. They lost a lot of defenders towards the end of the season. They ultimately got healthy because we have to wait 4 months until the playoff starts after the end of the regular season. So once they get there, once they get in, I think they'll be fine. But the injury to Trayvon Diggs is going to be huge, as Matt Zenish just told us last segment. It's going to be a matter of who stays healthy. I think it's going to be Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, and Notre Dame in that playoff right now, because I think the playoff committee is going to use that SEC championship game as a de facto play-in game.
As far as teams that I'm sure of, as far as maybe running the table, Alabama is number one, but I think Ohio State's number two in that regard.
Okay.
It's taking on Minnesota right now, at Purdue, against Nebraska, at Michigan State, against Maryland. Again, Michigan, Ohio State, always big at the end of the season, but I kind of think that Ohio State will be better than any team that they're going to face moving forward. So definitely, to me, Ohio State and Bama have solidified themselves. We see Notre Dame, and again, Notre Dame could have a rock in their shoe. You just never know. As good as they have been offensively, and Georgia, again, I always look at the youth. I believe in this team. It's my team. But I said that there's going to be at least a one loss on their resume coming into the season. So I don't know when that's going to happen. But those two teams stand up more so than anything else for me, Alabama and Ohio State.
Here's the question. Is there anyone we're overlooking? Because I think part of the reason we love college football so much is that it's not a given. And it seems as if this season has started off with five teams that we are giving, all right, automatically they're going to be undefeated. They're going to be there in the end. Is there anyone, say, in the 10 range, in the 8 range, that we could maybe get to the end of the season and they have one loss or undefeated UCF that may be in this college football playoff conversation when we get to the end? No. Abdallah, the returning national champions, the Knights.
I mean, that's fine. As a USC fan, as a USC fan, if you need to hang your hat on another college football champion and you don't want to acknowledge Alabama, that's fine. No, here's what I hope. UCF goes undefeated, put them in the playoff. Put them fourth, put Alabama first, watch what happens.
As I mentioned before, the only one loss team that would qualify would be Alabama if they ever, again, a rock in their shoe, or Ohio State for me. Anybody else with a one loss, and that's complete. That is Georgia, that means Notre Dame. Those teams would be in a quality bowl game, but not in the Final Four playoff picture.
Colorado's undefeated too, guys.
Get out of here. The only one I can see is Alabama, or I can make a case for, is Alabama or Georgia if that loss comes in the SEC championship game and they're both undefeated heading into that and it's a close loss. Like, if it's a field goal at the end of the game for either Georgia and Alabama, I can make a case for either team to make the playoff and keep maybe an Ohio State out, keep a Clemson out, maybe keep Notre Dame out because they don't have a championship game.
The playoff predictor really is eliminating conferences.
It is.
There's nothing yet. Like, Pac-12 out. You don't want to talk about the Pac-12?
Well, if you're not undefeated.
Pac-12 out. Right.
If you're not undefeated, hey guys, and you're playing in the Pac-12.
We sure that the Big Ten is going to have a team? We might need to get a scoreboard. Coming up.
Wait a minute. What are you saying there?
That's a tease for the team in Ohio.
Brian Kelly is pleased by the Notre Dame Fighting Irish's development.
We're looking for that development piece to occur more so than we're surprised. We're always thinking that that's going to occur. And so the defensive line development, the wide receiver development, remember we didn't have a lot of experience and a lot of catches at the wide receiver position. I think we're becoming much more dynamic at that position. And then certainly the defensive line, those areas have really blossomed. So again, I wouldn't use the word surprised as much as really pleased that they have developed at the level that they have.
Brian Kelly, the head coach for Notre Dame, as the Irish get ready to take on Pittsburgh, 12:30 pregame right here on the home of the Irish, ESPN 1000. Saturday night specials are next.
Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.